Drive's busting this day open.
Busting wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the face that produces the place, has the latest. And the latest is the Astros are going to try to flush down all of what happened yesterday as they lose 7-1 in the opening of the series against the Yankees. All of the Framber situation, they're going to try to flush that until Joe Espada met with the media today. And Joe Espada came to the media and he said, damn it, I've got something to say. This is right after, I mean, he had him a hell of a day. Went ahead and sent Chaz McCormick's ass back down to Sugar Land like he's just firing people at Sprint. And then I'm sorry, man, there was that time frame in the 90s, man, they were just
Sprint.
Hey man, them managers in there firing people on their lunch break at Sprint every day. But he went here and got cut loose of Chaz McCormick, which hurts us. Victor Caratini, he is back a day late, and he addressed Joe Espada, not yesterday, today he addressed, and I'm telling you folks, you can hear him in his voice. He said, God dog it, I got a little something I want to say, damn it. I want to say something. Here's Joe Espada trying to regain the captain mantra. Here he is talking about the Framber Valdez, Cesar Salazar situation.
Let me start today before you guys start, you know, with the questions. So yesterday I obviously met with Salazar and Valdez once I finished talking to you post-game. And I really wanted to get down to, number one was the asking him to step off. I wanted to know about the thought process, what, you know, which pitch, who was calling which pitch and what. And I wanted to hear from both of them at the same time. I wanted to have a conversation face-to-face because I wanted to hear the truth about the whole entire thing that happened in that inning. I have a lot of respect for both players. And I truly believe that when we have these conversations, that they're honest. And I want them to tell me the truth. And I want them to tell you guys the truth once they, you know, talk to the media. So I don't want to get into specifics, but I do want to say that I want to put this behind us. There's a lot of speculations and stuff that is being sent on the media, which I don't read, but they make me, you know, people tell me what's going on, and I don't like it. A lot of that stuff is not true, but I understand the environment and the what comes with it, right? So I appreciate if we can just get past this and go back to, you know, baseball.
All right, there's Joe Espada coming to the table addressing, and he said, finally, it felt like Joe wanted to say, before we get started, I got something to say before you ask your little questions. It felt like that's what Joe was in, that type of mood. Your reaction and response to Joe Espada.
Well, first off, I applaud Joe Espada and how he handles issues, frictions, adversity within the clubhouse. I love that. Let's call both guys in and let's air this thing out and get to a resolve and move on. I applaud the hell out of that. Now, on the other hand, his ability to communicate with the media once again is interesting, right? I mean, he comes out hot, guns blazing, like, hey, y'all, listen up. I'm gonna tell you what's going on.
Hold on to your little question,
so that we can all sweep this under the rug and move on. And right when he got to the point of, all right, now here's what happened, he said, well, I'm gonna ask them to tell the truth to the media, and I hope they tell you the truth. And now we're gonna sweep this under the rug. And he didn't shed any light on what happened in the clubhouse, on what happened on the diamond, on the mound, behind the plate, in the game. He didn't shed any light on what went on in that meeting, which, again, I don't expect him to, but when you come out hot like you are fixing to, then the expectation is, all right, well, if you want everybody to get beyond it and everybody to keep speculating, you want to point out that everything is wrong and there's a lot of bad information out there, then, hey, write the record. You know, he
doesn't agree with the stuff that's being said out there, which I guess could lead you to a point to think that that he doesn't believe that was what happened and what he got from the meeting.
Well, I mean, he could. I mean, to me, if this was a man, it's easy, man. These guys got crossed up. He would have said it. Like, the fact that he didn't tell us something, I think is very telling of what he found out when he did his little investigation in the manager's meeting room. I mean, it's anyway, applaud him for the manner in which he goes about dealing with his players. I give him a A for effort in a sense of energy and juice to that interview, but an F when it comes to actually saying something of any kind of substance to change the narrative. Right, like right now, it's just again you put me in a spot where it's like, hey, clearly if it were no big deal, he would have explained it. The fact that he didn't explain it tells me personally that there's something they don't want to get out of the clubhouse right now.
All right, we'll address more of that because somebody else has spoken on the Framber situation as well, and we'll let you hear what that was also. But they got game two tonight, and the lineup here is with Jason Alexander on the mound, Peña Alvarez back in the lineup, and he is in left field. Altuve is DHing, Correa behind him, Sanchez back in the lineup, Diaz behind the plate, and as we said, Chaz McCormick has been optioned back to Sugarland. Hell, I didn't know he still had options, but he has been optioned down to Sugarland. That's because they have reinstated Victor Caratini as he returns back from the IL, that 7-day concussion IL he was on. He is in the lineup as well, and he is out there playing first base, returning. Urias is at second, and then Taylor Trammell back in the lineup in center field. So that is the latest there. Clint, we've talked a lot about the Framber situation, the Salazar situation, because that was the big thing coming out of the game. But one thing it covered up was they played against another AL playoff team, and right now it would take a real meltdown for the Yankees to miss the postseason where they are right now. They've gotten hot here of late, and they scored one run. And they went up against their ace, and they scored run. They were shut out two games ago by the Angels. They have struggled here lately to score runs. And that, to me, is the thing that's getting covered up, luckily, by the Framber situation is, again, they go out against good pitching, and they can't score runs. And when that grand slam was hit, you knew it was over, because they can't come back and score more runs, and they end up scoring one run. They've got to figure this out. Hopefully Alvarez returning helps them with their ability to score runs, but this is the hidden thing that gets kind of swept under the rug with the situation with Framber that's on TV right now.
Yeah, look, it's no doubt about it. I mean, they're streaky right now, and they've got to produce at the plate. I think Yordan Alvarez being in that lineup absolutely changes the dynamic, not only of the lineup, but how the opposing pitcher has to approach the lineup. And so hopefully that is the shot in the arm that these guys need. It's definitely a game changer. So, with him in the lineup, I think we got a better chance, obviously, of scoring some points some runs. And let's see if they can keep him in there and we can get off this rest train every five games.
Yeah. So let's see if they can score some runs. And they are, listen, there's some tough pitching. Will Warren is probably the easier of the ones. They've got Rodon tomorrow, and he has had a really good year. So that's another tough lefty that they'll have to deal with. We'll see if they can score some runs in this series. Also, a note, Isak Paredes. There's video of it. He was taking ground balls at the Daikin today, and he also was running in the outfield. Joe Espada said Paredes went for a follow-up imaging on his hamstring yesterday. So good sign out there. He's taking ground balls, fielding them, throwing them over to first. We'll see what that means for the Astros with his potential return and where he would.
I have no idea where he's going to fit in, but that video of him fielding ground balls, throwing to first base, he looks light on his feet, looks like he's moving well. There's a report that he was doing some running exercises out in right field, out in the outfield as well. So, I don't know, but with that level of hamstring injury that keeps you out, man, it sure seems like he's early on, September 3, he's moving like that. I don't think he's ready to run any bases or anything, but I think it was pretty promising for Astros fans. I don't know where the hell he fits in when he does get back. I'm guessing maybe DH, if anything, but we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Woo!
5 o'clock fire.
All right, D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud spoke to the media today, talking about similar things. Here is D'Amico talking about, hey, this is where we are now. Talk is over. Let's go.
Yeah, for our offensive line, we'll see. There's been questions all offseason about our offensive line. Everybody wants to know who's going out there. Who is this guy, this position, that position. It's just a lot of talk that I'm tired of talking about it. Like, it's time to go play, and let's see how our five matches up against a really great defensive line. And that's what we'll see on Sunday. Let's see how it all plays out.
That was D'Amico talking about the O-line, and then the guy who is playing behind the O-line, C.J. Stroud, speaks about them going into this game against the Rams.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing about this group that I'm really proud of is that, man, they're dogs, man, from left to right, up and down, no matter the age or the position. I think everybody, you know, that we got up there loves to play and plays really hard. The effort is there, and, yeah, I think got a great challenge. You know, this D-line is really good, you know, starting to reverse. You know, he's really, really good and really strong, powerful. There's different type of rushes. Good in the run game. 55, 91, 0. Really, all of them are really good. So, yeah, I think this is a great challenge for us. And, you know, those guys, they know that and they're preparing. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great battle.
All right. That's them talking about what is clearly, I think, everyone's belief, but clearly their belief, the key to the game, Clint, is the offensive line. And I'm with D'Amico. Hey. Hey, tired of talking about it. Let's see it. And we're going to see, as we talked about, a fair matchup to kind of see where they are.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm less tired of talking about it and more ready to see some improvement. I mean, there's a huge gamble here that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans took with their approach to fixing the offensive line. And I agree with Brandon Scott. I think on paper, I think as we look at right now, I do think they are better everywhere except where Laremy Tunsil left. I mean, whether it's Cam Robinson or Arionte Ursary, they're not going to be Laremy Tunsil. I think you can go left guard to right tackle, and you can argue that they're better than anything that was on the field last year at any given point. Now, that's in theory, that's on paper. We hadn't seen them play a snap yet. And the truth of the matter is, just being a little bit better than you were last year, as bad as they were last year, is not going to be enough. And so, look, I'm not tired of talking about it. I'm tired of it being an issue, right? I mean, I'm just hoping like hell the cheap approach, the inexperienced approach, the youth movement, if you will. I just hope that works up front with the Texans in a way in which it hasn't worked for Ed Ingram with Minnesota, or the way it didn't work with Jake Andrews with New England, or, you know, the way that guard didn't work out for Titus. Now he's moving back to tackle. Like I hope it all comes together on Sunday as something that we can put behind us and the problem be solved. I'm with D'Amico there. But yeah, I'm more tired of it being a problem than I am talking about it.
yeah. And we'll see. And we'll see. I think that part that you brought up there, hey, they got a they took a real unconventional path of how they decided to fix, at least unconventional to most people, how they decided to fix their biggest issue, right? Trading their clear-cut best lineman and then bringing in guys that didn't grade out well and then changing it. Midstream, well,
they put a ton of stock. They put less stock in talent, and they put a ton of stock in coaching and mentality. And hopefully you hired the right coach, and hopefully that mentality is shifted enough to where it can outweigh the talent of a Laremy Tunsil and the experience of some of the other guys you had up there. We'll see. When rubber meets the road, we shall see on Sunday at 3:25, baby.
There we go. All right. We will see. And big game one for that offensive line.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. This story here is potentially going to really take off. And Pablo Torre, now Metal Arc Media, but now also The Athletic did his first story. Said he's been working on this for 7 months. The Clippers apparently, allegedly, skirted NBA salary cap rules with Kawhi Leonard. He got paid $28 million to be a no-show endorser for a tree planting company that was supposed to really help the environment, and he was the highest paid endorser and did no work for it. $28 million. Then it comes, there is a connection with this company with the owner of the Clippers, the richest owner in all of sports, Steve Ballmer, that he also gave $50 million to this company this debunk company that is building growing trees that he didn't pay. So this is, the NBA has now come out, said they are investigating it, and this could be a huge, huge deal in a salary cap sport to where owners are getting around offering more money by having outside ventures to be able to pay these guys more than what the salary can give. I got to believe this is, there are some owners also around here thinking, oh, hell.
Look out now. But look, I mean,
KB, the first time this idea has come up.
Well, I think Mark Cuban made a great point and I don't know that I agree with Mark Cuban. He thinks that he's on Ballmer's side here because and his reasoning is there's no way a guy with that kind of money would let a company that was doing this kind of thing go bankrupt, knowing that when a company goes bankrupt, the records are essentially opened and would allow for people to see that Kawhi Leonard was receiving this money.
Hey,
now,
hey.
My thought with that is, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that a billionaire, one of the richest guys in the world, it wouldn't be the first time that person thought they were untouchable and did something stupid, hoping nobody would notice and let it happen. But yeah, I mean, it's, I tell
this
you,
could, this could be a big, like, they could get in big trouble. I think the last time something like this happened, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the owner was suspended, the team was fined, they gave up 5 first-round draft picks, and it wasn't $28 million that he was getting a year. Like, this could be a big, big thing, and it's not that it's unbelievable, but I bet you there's a lot of people wondering, make sure they don't come sneaking around here, because I cannot believe in any of these salary cap sports that no one else has come up with this idea. Let's be able to add to it here, get them a little extra money. All right, coming up, the Framber Valdez story with the cross-up is becoming a national story, a big story here. We heard from the manager, Joe Espada, speak on it. Now an agent. The agent for Framber Valdez spoke on it, and he came out just as hard as Joe Espada did. We'll let you hear what he had to say coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Been a fun show. Shout out to our guy, B. Scott. Brandon Scott joined us at the end of the 4 o'clock hour. If you missed that, round 440, check it out. Good conversation. And he said he's changed from the beginning of the season. He said he is now leaning towards the Texans. Beginning of the year, he had this as a loss against the Rams, and now he is leaning towards the Houston Texans. You can listen to the rest of our conversation we had with him. All right, as the top story here coming into today, and it still is, it's being talked about at a national level as well. And that is Framber Valdez crossed up his pitcher. That is what he said last night. It was not intentional. It is what he said. Salazar said it was not intentional. But most have a different belief. Joe Espada, we just played that at the start of 5 o'clock fire. He gave his thoughts on it. Talked to them both about the entirety of the inning is what he said, not just that particular moment. Framber Valdez, his agent, who better had his ass out here, he gave his thoughts on it. He said the idea that he's intentionally trying to injure one of his teammates is preposterous. It's a complete lack of respect for who he is as a person and who he is as a player. And his body of work demonstrates that. Anything to the contrary is just completely misguided, and it's not right. And you would understand in a contract year, his agent certainly doesn't want to have out there that he has a player that is out here trying to take out his teammates because he gets mad that he gave up a grand slam. You can understand that. But we've heard a lot. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. You saw it last night. We've heard from Joe Espada a couple of times since it happened. We're hearing from the agent. We heard from Framber. We heard from Salazar. Where is your thoughts? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, Clint Sterner. Where are you at in this Framber situation?
Yeah, look, I think Framber is a child. I think Framber is very unprofessional. I think some of the signs that we've seen leading up to this incident were kind of swept under the rug. We discussed them on this show, but it was more kind of tongue-in-cheek where, you know, he was needing to be checked, the keeping his emotions in check. And I think there's been signs of the lack of professionalism, the immaturity, the inability to handle adversity, if you will. I think there's been signs, but I think this is just all of that coming to a head. I think this lacks professionalism in a major, major way. Now, look, I don't think Framber Valdez is a bad dude. I don't think Framber Valdez went out there and decided to throw a pitch and his thought was, I'm fixing to hurt this POS catcher back here that just that won't sit back there and just catch my game and let me call pitches. I don't think he intentionally hurt one of his teammates. I'm seeing that phrased a lot. No, I do not think Framber Valdez did that. If we're going to talk about intention, I do think Framber Valdez intentionally decided to not step off the rubber when Cesar Salazar was waving his hands, both hands, before the grand slam. I do believe that Framber Valdez intentionally decided to throw a pitch when communication wasn't clear between him and his catcher, out of frustration, out of immaturity, out of a lack of professionalism, not to hurt anybody. But I do believe he intentionally did those things, and the result of that was he put his catcher in harm's way. The result of that was he obviously caused some level of friction within the organization to a point where he and the catcher had to be called into the manager's office, and the manager had to get things straight, wanted to hear the truth for himself, right? So I just think this is a bigger example, a more magnified example of what we've seen from Framber Valdez in the past. I just think there is a level of immaturity. There's a level of lack of professionalism that is unacceptable for a guy of Framber Valdez's ilk. I mean, Framber Valdez is a professional. He's a veteran. He has been in huge moments and had a ton of success. He should be the adult in the room in this situation, get the communication right, and give the team a chance to win ball games instead of ending up doing what he did and having to be called into the manager's office. I think bottom line is Fromber's a child. He's too old for this crap, and unfortunately, we had to watch it all play out in live action.
Text line coming through. This is probably why we haven't signed Framber. I bet this ish has gone on behind the scenes for years. He hit him, and he'll be lucky to get an expensive contract from the Rockies. Framber is a long-haired bee. That was on purpose. I think a lot of what you said, Clint, is very fair. I think he is immature. I think we have known that. I think we have talked about that. I think he does not always handle adversity in the best manner. I think we have talked about that as well. I can't get with people who right now are 100% positive and sure that this dude went out there and purposely threw a fastball at him while him knowing that Salazar was looking for a curveball or something off speed. I can't put that on him, because to me that is a POS. You are a jackass. You are an a-hole if you are purposely going to do that to injure, because you put that, you hit him right in the ribs, 93, right in the ribs. Like, you can hurt somebody and you do that because you're pissed that you gave up a grand slam, or he's where he's not doing something you don't want him to do, so you send him a message. I do not believe he did that. I think he was frustrated, and I think, as you said, Clint, he was acting immature, a child. I'll even go there with you. But I don't think he sat back there after giving up the grand slam, throwing a changeup where they were on the same page, and then saying, here, I'm about to give it to his ass right now. I don't believe that is the case. And if you do that, that's fine. I just, like, that to me is a serious claim on somebody that, quite frankly, has never shown us recklessness like that before. He doesn't even throw at batters that he's pissed at, let alone his own teammates. And the other thing that stuck out to me was, I mean, Framber is a highly emotional player to begin with. Throws a pitch that gives up a grand slam, a pitch in which his catcher, as you said, put his hands up and he didn't step off and threw it anyway. Throws a grand slam, clearly pissed off and frustrated throughout. Throws another pitch and then, apparently clear as day to most, intentionally threw a ball at his catcher. Nobody came to the mound. Nobody even came out there just to say, hey, man, what the hell's going on? Salazar clearly looked confused. No pitching coach, no manager, nobody came to the mound from the infield. And their actions today are also showing they don't believe it was an intentional thing. And to me, if it was intentional, if he did do that on purpose, there needs to be serious action taken because you could have really hurt somebody. So I don't think that is it is intentional. I think the biggest thing to this, Clint, is they need Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez to be not good but great for them to get where they want to get to. And the big thing is he hasn't been that. And he hasn't been that lately, and that is what they need moving forward. I think that is that right now, especially as they're moving forward, not putting any action,
yeah,
that is the biggest thing to me.
Well, you're right. You're dead. Your nails right there. I mean, the key is, even as an Astros fan or a media member, whatever it is, the key is you've got, this team is going nowhere without great Framber and great Hunter Brown. And so they've got to get Framber back in the right frame of mind. Because the reality of it is, we've seen Framber, out of frustration, not trying to hurt anybody, we've seen Framber throw the outfield, throw teammates under the bus in a post-game presser. We've seen Framber not back up a catcher and cost the team a run in a tight ball game. We've now seen Framber make a piss poor decision, multiple piss poor decisions in a game where he could have he potentially put a player in, not potentially, he did put a player, a teammate in harm's way. Like, they've got to get that under control for another 3 months. They got to get that figured out with Framber so that we can go try to win a damn World Series. I know that is the real deal right here. And you're right. I think the bigger question, it's fun to talk about this, but the bigger question is moving forward, we've got to have really good to great Framber Valdez. And of late, he's been inconsistent, to put it nicely. He's got to get back to being the guy that we look, from a performance standpoint, that we've come accustomed to see.
All right, baby. Framber is a thug and now a liar. I love that take. All right. Hey, I'm with you. You gonna throw somebody on purpose, your teammate? That's wild. That's got to be like at the top. I ain't never been in a professional athlete like you have, Clint. That's got to be at the top of the list of you just, hey, but I'm about to purposely take out my teammate. That's like, to me, what he did is if your right guard said, F it. I'm just going. I know it's a pass round. I'm going to sidestep him and let him just lay your ass
out. I felt like there's been a time or two when a couple did.
I don't do that. All right, coming up, we'll see how Clint and Tyler are doing after it happened to Chaz McCormick. Mm-hmm. And we have mentioned this today, the Texans captains. Anybody not on this list that you're surprised? Their captain, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Nico Collins, Aziz, and Dare. Anybody you're surprised that aren't captains? We'll discuss all that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. You'll hear from D'Amico and GM Nick Caserio live starting at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for that right after us. You'll hear from the head coach and the general manager as they are going from 6 to 8 o'clock. And then following that, we'll hear from Area 45. Damn it, I wish I should have turned on Area 45 last night. I bet you they were getting after it.
It was a great night for them to be going to midnight for the first time this year, that's for sure.
And I'm certain they will not only have the post game tonight as the Astros try to even up this series against the Yankees, but I'm sure they'll respond to the latest Fromber situation with Joe Espada. I'm guessing Caratini and Yiner are going to be catching Framber the rest of the way.
I think that's probably safe.
That is the number one thing. Like, I don't think it's uncommon for veteran pitchers. But he has got, like, if he don't believe you are to a certain level, I mean, he will just roll right through you. That is clear the last 2 years for Framber. Which,
well, look,
which
I think we ought to give Jason Alexander Diaz anyway. I mean, if that is a source of frustration for him, which I think it's documented, I think it is.
Yeah.
He's going to be sitting down in that bullpen or in that dugout tonight going, look at this. Look at this. Look at this sunbuck here.
Right here. Yeah, man. That's what we say. Hey, remember how pissed off some of y'all would be? So Verlander just has to have Dubon in center field and Maldonado behind the plate, no matter damn what. Yep. Dusty said, hell yeah, he gets it. I'm going to guess Framber is in Salazar. Maybe their days together are maybe numbered this year. And it seems like Framber's are numbered anyway. But coming up, also, T-Mill's best bets. Make sure you stay tuned for that as he's going to try to get back on track. Got one out of two yesterday, but he went those 3.5 runs for the Astros. I wondered how that would look against Max Fried. So he's coming back.
Had to bring it up, didn't you?
I had to look at it. We got it, but we'll get back on track here coming up. Yordan's back in the lineup. See if he'll probably put some money on the big fella. So that's coming up in a bit. Hey, come on out with us tomorrow to Cypress. The very first Thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings in Cypress, right off 290. And if you remember last year, we don't come empty-handed. All right, shout out to our good friends that help us put this on, Buffalo Wild Wings, Bud Light. We do not come empty-handed. It will be a fantastic time. So come on out with us and have a good time. 2 o'clock, Cypress, Buffalo Wild Wings, The Drive will be live for our first Thirsty Thursday. So come do your thing. I just want to check before we get rolling. Are you all right, man? Oh, you lost Chaz.
Yeah.
Chaz McCormick. They expand rosters in September.
I have prepared myself for this. There is something behind closed doors, man, that these cats just don't like about Chaz McCormick. So I prepared myself for this. The thought was that Jacob Melton would be bad enough to where it would make this impossible, which I think he has been, but clearly there's no bad enough. I mean, he's sub 150 at this point in time from both sides of the – I guess he's always a lefty, isn't he? The fact that he's on this roster and Chaz isn't is absolutely nuts. But, hey, man, I prepared myself for this. So, yeah, we lost Chaz McCormick. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how he makes his way back up.
I don't think he's gonna come back up unless there's an injury. Now, it's time.
There's a song for Chaz, but it was not the one that I was hoping for.
I mean, expanded rosters, man. You go from 26 to 28 now.
I never wanted to play this for White Boy.
And Chaz, they said, yeah, man. Let me get Taylor Trammell. Let me get Jacob Melton up here. And again, did you know? How many options does Chaz have? My God, this has to be coming to the end.
He's lucky he had this one, or he would have been DFA.
He would have been DFA, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, rough year. Let's be honest. Chaz is only hitting 60 points better than Melton, so I probably should. It's not like he's having a great year.
Wow. He's got some moments, man.
But if you look at the three center fielders and you know, you look at the three center fielders, the only difference is the other two are left-handed, he's right-handed. Because he's better everywhere, as good if not better everywhere else. And he's the one that gets canned.
Yeah, Dubon's going to be the center fielder when they face a left-handed pitcher. That's
I mean, this show did all we could. We tried to DoorDash the guy some banana pudding.
Yeah,
up to Detroit.
You tried to just play the music even when you shouldn't have. You tried to.
Yeah.
We had to wait till you were out of town to do it. We felt really good about it. So good we lost money on it. Yeah. I mean, you're out of town. We bet $100 on it. Man, we're ready. Let's go, bud.
Oh, yeah, put money.
Oh, yeah. All we needed was a hit, man. One hit. One measly-ass hit.
You know what they did? Strong about it that night,
too. I bet he didn't get all of his at-bats.
Oh, no. Not only did he not get all of his at-bats, he got three against Scooble. And then they pinch hit him when the
righty came in.
When the righty came in. They pinch hit him. Actually, this time they did. I think
Scooby-Dooby Scooble.
I think Trammell actually pinch hit for him. So it was better than the old 149 batting for him. But 149 did get a pinch hit in that left-handed lineup there, by the way.
Before we get to T-Mill's best bets, captains for the Texans announced C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Aziz, Nico in there for the first time, Dare Ogunbowale. Those are the five. Any surprises that didn't make the list in terms of captains?
I think the one for me that had legs is one that I think got hurt, C.J. Gardner-Johnson possibly, but other than that, no. I mean, I think when you look at these guys, these are the pillars. These are the guys that they hope to be around, at least offensively, and the big boys up front. Look, I think Dare Ogunbowale earned this thing from doing it the right way, the hard way. I think when you look at Aziz Al-Shaair, he made it because he's the mouthpiece of the defense, and damn it, D'Amico's going. I mean, there is an affinity for Aziz Al-Shaair like no other. And then them three in the front, Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud, and Nico Collins. It's just those three are no-brainers.
Yeah, I'm a little Jalen Petrie is the one
that's a good one.
It seems like that is the other guy when they talk about Will and C.J. that they – I think Amari Lassiter's probably going to be in this here in a couple of years, but I'm a bit surprised that Petrie's not there. And then, you know, a couple of the veterans, Titus, he seemed to have kind of become the leader of that offensive line. And you know, you got Danielle Hunter and Stingley, you know, generally like, hell, they were continuing to put Laramie Tunsil on there just because he was the best player, and you wonder if they do that. But those are the five captains going into the season for the Texans. All right, T-Mill, let's get it. Give us your best bets. Let's see if you can get into the green tonight.
Yes, that would be ideal because it was a rough one last night. 1-for-3. Not a lot of good.
It's a good one, though. That was the Cardinals. That was a good one.
Yeah, that one, I'll take it. Better than 0-for-3. But I got four more baseball bets for you on a Wednesday night. And tomorrow, we will have some freaking Thursday night football bets, which I am very excited about.
I know you are. First one of the year.
First, tonight, Atlanta Braves at the Cubs. Over 8 runs in that game. Odds at -120. I like that over a lot.
That's not bad.
The San Francisco Giants, they're traveling to Colorado, taking on the Rockies. I'm on -1.5 runs for the Giants against those lowly Rockies this evening. And then two wagers in this game two between the Astros and Yankees over at Daikin Park. Starting here in a little bit. First, I got the Astros plus 1.5 hosting the Yankees. It's not often you're going to get a run and a hook for the Houston Astros in 2025. Take that one. And then, of course, Ron hinted to it. It's a hard one to pass up. The big fella, Yordan Alvarez, over 1.5 total bases tonight against the Yankees. He's been ripping the ball. Even when he's getting out, he's ripping the heck out of the baseball this year. So, Yordan back in the lineup. They're being cautious with him, but I think he gets over 1.5, maybe even in his first plate appearance. Those are your four best bets. What do y'all like? What do you hate?
I know Clint will probably jump on that that Yordan. At least he's thinking about it.
I like Yordan. I do. I like some Yordan.
That Giants-Rockies series is interesting as they get into a fight as Devers is
the Rockies still care enough to fight?
It wasn't. They were ready to fight there.
It was weak, though. Yep. Did you see them, like, slapping each other, like, with their hands?
Yeah. Baseball fights. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. I like the Yordan. I like the Rockies. I mean, they just feel like you can get a chance to win every time. All right, coming up, hang out with us tomorrow. We'll be in Cypress. Come say what's up. Win some prizes. Get you some great wings, some great drinks. Buffalo Wild Wings, Cypress. We'll be in Cypress off 290. So come hang out with us. Shout out to Robert Flores, Brandon Scott, D'Amico kind of joining the show. C.J. Stroud, for the first, well, kind of joining the show as well. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us as well. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron. The show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
You former NFL quarterbacker, you. You former Dallas Cowboy, or you.
What's going on here?
I'm just feeling good, man. We're thriving on a Wednesday. We got a lot of good stuff going on.
Did not have that as...
Golly, I didn't realize how many good songs CCR had.
Oh, yeah.
Down in the corner?
Yep.
Golly, I knew... Out in the streets, baby.
Text line coming in. Ron, you're good. To America's.
I figured it was.
All right. Thanks, Tyler. Let's roll.